Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
Can you see me? Can you hear me?
I can see you and I can hear you. Yay!
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo! I'd be so sad if we couldn't talk Bridgerton. I'd be like, whoa.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah, there we go. We got it.
Okay. So Bridgerton trailer dropped this morning.
It was so good.
Like,
it's some good shit.
Honestly, I ended the last season annoyed at Eloise. And now we're full on fighting.
Now I want to hurt her and cause her pain because she's hanging out with that bitch. What's her name?
And then she said what she said to Colin, like, you're not going to court her, are you?
You're not going to marry her.
Bitch. Honestly, I just saw in a comment section on a video about it that, like, somebody was, like, trying to defend Eloise. So, like, well, what Penelope did writing about her and her family is wrong. And I'm like, okay, but, like, no.
It's kind of like arguing, oh, well, Oliver Queen killed a bunch of people. Listen, you're either on his team or you're not.
And if you're not, why are you watching this?
Yeah, and he's the lead. So if you're not on his team, so to me, Penelope is the lead this season. You're either on her team or you're not. And if you're not, stop watching because it's her season.
Like,
she's the hero. They are clearly making Eloise the villain. Or at
Eloise
least, like,
has some explaining to do. I want to see.
Like, she needs a redemption arc. Yeah.
Exactly. There needs to be a significant amount of. Remember when I said Colin has to do a lot of groveling?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of pain for Colin in that trailer. So I feel I feel like I'm good. So the next person that needs to grovel is Eloise. Like,
well, the fact that she's hooking up with Cressida, I'm like right there.
Oh. Fucking wrong. And Eloise knows how wrong that is. That's what
and he
gets
knows
me.
What and yes. He knows how Penelope's gonna react to that.
Yes.
He knows that's gonna hurt her.
And doing that right in front of her, like, that is so fucking shitty. Like, I
and
would
honestly,
never see her friend again.
Like, because I know they can't include, like, all 8 Bridgertons at all times and stuff, and so thus Phoebe Devner really isn't gonna be in this season. But Daphne would be like, Eloise, what the fuck? Like, Cressida almost ruined me in this entire family.
Well, and also, like, okay, I understand, yes, Penelope wrote some stuff about, but, like, I really feel like they're gonna take the stance that, you know, Whistledown is a good thing for society because it keeps them in check.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really feel like they're going about this like, oh, that Penelope has done something super wrong. I just don't.
And it was the only other alternative was the queen was going to assume she was Lady Whistledown and, like, arrest her. So.
Right.
But, honestly, what is so wrong about what Penelope is doing? Everybody keeps saying, oh, she wrote about her family. But did she write bad things?
No, in fact, most
or
of
inaccurate things.
Yeah, she wrote accurate things, positive, and that's why I'm saying, like, she's keeping the ton in check. Because, like, left to their own devices, these people can all be awful.
I mean, so, you, like, could just kind of, like, she's a reporter, and
yeah,
it's like being
a mad
at a reporter for reporting on the news. It's like,
right.
Well, I'm fucking sorry, but get over yourself. You
like
know
saying something in front of a reporter.
She is People Magazine.
Don't know who it is. So, like, I get that. And, okay, I understand that Eloise is upset because Penelope has been using their relationship and her connection to the Bridgertons to, like, write about stuff. But overall, I think she's been fairly favorable to the Bridgertons.
Oh, so favorable.
And I can count 2 marriages that probably wouldn't have happened without Lady Whistledown.
Exactly. So, you know what? Here's what I think. I think we're going to see at least Anthony pipe up and say to Eloise at some point, and Colin, because, you know, Colin's going to get probably a wild hair about this too.
Yeah.
Be like, listen, she's helped us.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say before I forget, you know what this is making me think of?
Mm.
talk about bringing up childhood trauma.
Okay.
Harry the Spy. It reminds me of Harriet the Spy.
It's really Harriet the Spy. It is really Harriet the Spy.
I remember how mad her friends got at her?
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch! Spot police, hello. You know, it's just like...
Don't feel like they're presenting Penelope in this mean girl's light. And after seeing that trailer, that's how they're painting Eloise.
Yeah. Oh, Eloise is so the mean girl. There was nothing remotely likable or sympathetic about Eloise in that trailer.
No. And you know that Penelope was 100% right when she says, you're just jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
110%.
Like, they're totally taking this the wallflower can bloom. What I like about that is Penelope has always been fascinating and interesting and beautiful and all of that. It's just nobody ever paid any attention to her.
Yeah, so, they overlooked her.
Yeah, or gave her a second thought. So I'm very much looking forward to her kind of having her own. Like when she comes out in the dress that's see-through, I died. I was like, yes, queen.
Yes.
It was so awesome.
Girl.
Colin's going to lose it when he sees her in that dress. He's going to be like, where's the carrot?
We saw the man suffering. Like, we saw him suffering. He was suffering in that trailer.
And he needs to be suffering.
He needs to suffer. But I saw him suffering.
I've skimmed the book because I was just in such a Bridgerton, like deficit. And I was just really sad. So I did start reading it while I was in Hawaii. I've kind of skimmed it. And you're right, he's a total dill hole in the book.
Oh, he's, man, like, really he was the worst.
All the time. And I'm like, why is he?
He was so mean to her.
He's just mad all the time. And I'm like, you're not in charge of her. So I'm hoping they back off that a little bit. And it seems like they're taking a softer approach to Miss Colin, Mr. Colin.
They're leaning into his... Oh, I'm just going to help her and then find the fuck
It's
away.
Totally friends to lovers. And I'm here for it. It's even more friends to lovers than Daphne and the Duke because
100%,
Colin and Penelope go way back. So.
We can't possibly be a thing because we've been friends forever.
Right.
Why am I having dreams about her? Because you can't tell me that one scene in the trailer, you're like, boy was having a dream.
Yeah. Also, am I here for Colin being hot now? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Sorry, Cal. I mean, I have to abandon you in this.
My jury is still out on that, but I will accept him as a love interest. I will.
Okay.
I'm okay.
I honestly feel like he has the... I mean, it's tough between the glow-up between... I really don't think you can, like... The glow-up
as far
for
as
Anthony
the contrast...
was spectacular. Like... But see, I feel like Anthony had less to go than Colin. Like,
Anthony
really needed was a good haircut, you know? Colin
he
was, like,
prepubescent,
and, like, now he's all man. And I'm like, how did we go from prepubescent to man? And, like, I saw someone on TikTok, like, ask, what man... Like, camp, do they send these boys, do these guys, these actors to? Because they send them off to man camp and they come back like ripped gods of women. It's just it's a lot.
The glow up.
I think part of Collins, though, and I agree with somebody, like, the actor, and I'm sorry to remember his name, but the actor, like, when he's out and about in town, because he's fully living for his glow up now. Like, this is his permanent way of being. And his haircut that he has, like, present day haircut, is super great and makes him look even hotter. The hair in Bridgerton kind of, like, it's much better, but it's still not his present day smoke show haircut. So that's the only thing that I'm like, oh, we could have
just
been a scope hotter.
On TikTok, I just shared one with you that was him and Nicola kind of like talking about the trailer, or like it was like a little snippet of them together, but like in their full modern day like look. And I'm like, they look good.
They look good together, and they broke furniture in their scenes. And she was just like, oh, the sex scenes were so fun. I was like, really? She was just like, it was a blast. We broke
furniture. They keep teasing the mirror in the carriage. I swear to God.
I can't. I'm just really, really, that was really why I read it. I'm like, cause everyone was flipping out about the carriage and the mirror. And I'm like, okay, what's the big deal? And I'm like, oh,
got it.
I love it. And I'm totally there. Yes. And I'm sad that we have a new, what's the new sister?
Francesca. Well, she's the other very one fucked around and found out.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a bummer because the show that she was on contract for got canceled.
I know we've talked about this poor actress before, but I just can't imagine. Like, you get freaking Bridgerton. You're going to be a lead one season, and you're contracted to this other freaking show because you're not a series regular yet, and you're contractually obligated, and then you have to leave Bridgerton because of it, and then it doesn't get picked up, and you miss out on Bridgerton.
Oh, well.
I mean, that's a bitter pill. That's a bitter pill, my friend.
I like that we are doing her debut this season. I like that.
We're moving things along. I didn't see any Philip.
That means we're going to see her meet her husband, and she's going to get married. Like,
have to get married before the whole Philip thing starts with Eloise?
When Francesca got married was off book.
Oh,
like there was a jump between. Like there was a jump and okay, so in Benedict's book, there was a jump because it started with a masquerade ball that was done like shortly after Anthony and Kate got together. Like they threw a masquerade ball. That's where he met his gal. And so at the beginning of the book, there was that. And then there was like a time jump of like a year or two. And somewhere in that year or two is when Francesca came out and got married the same season.
Okay.
So I want to see her. I want to see her come out. I want to see her meet her guy. And I want to see her get married this season. I want that to happen.
Speaking of glow ups. Okay. If Anthony got exponentially hotter, Colin literally turned into a different person.
You cannot do anything to Benedict to make him hotter.
What are they doing to him? What are they going to do?
They don't have to do a goddamn thing.
But I know they don't have to, but they're gonna.
Are they?
So
they don't have to do it. They don't have to.
I don't know. I don't know. They're at least going to make him get more buff.
He's fine.
Well, they turn them into, it's like they go to man camp. And they turn into, like, the Reacher guy. The guy from Reacher. Like, they come out 6'7" and 280 pounds of muscle. You're like, okay. Interesting. So.
We only have a month to wait now.
That's so long. It's going to be so good. I'm actually more excited about this season than I've been about other seasons. Because, like, other seasons, I'm like, yeah, okay. But I'm a real big Friends to Lovers fan.
Yeah, well, first season, we didn't know what we were in for. Also, it was December 2020, so we were just, like, happy to have any.
We were happy to have anything.
Yeah, anything.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was.
God, was that during COVID when it launched?
It was Christmas 2020.
Wow, man. Shonda really came to save us.
That's why we never really got, like, a true, like, season one, like, promo and press junkets and red carpet and, like...
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
That's true. It's all right. They did just fine. And there's going to be no Daphne this year, so that's fine. Yeah. I'm ready for them to move on from.
Me too.
But if you're not going to give me the characters, like, you can't give me the Duke and Daphne happy, fine. That's fine. Just be done with them then. So now they're off having a bunch of babies and living in their Duke land and it's all great. So I'm happy.
What's that going to say?
I don't know.
But there is going to be like some Kate and Anthony because they had a little bit of.
Yes.
Oh, it's totally cute. Kate and Anthony. So Kate and Anthony are going to be our like they're like the Monica and Chandler while we're waiting for Ross and Rachel to get together. Like, they're going to be our refuge while all of this angst is going on. Yeah, they're going to be our anchor couple while, you know, Colin and Penelope are angsting it out.
Yep.
their mom and dad.
I'm still like low-key pissed off they split the season because I'm just like such a, but maybe that's better for me because like I just end up binging it and I just stay up all night and don't sleep.
In a fugue state, yeah.
In a fugue state. So it's probably better that they're taking control back since I can't be trusted.
First part, we digest that, we talk it to death, and then they release the second part.
Beat it like a dead horse.
Speaking of beating dead horses,
I'm going to say it's going to be nice for the people who make us the pretty gifts.
Oh, yeah.
That way,
oh,
then yeah. They don't have to do a full season.
Kim, we're counting on you.
Speaking of beating a dead horse, we also need to talk about Taylor Swift's playlists.
Oh, my God. I texted Callie because I was like, excuse me.
So, okay. Tortured Poets Department is coming out in like 8 days, 7 days. I don't know. It's next week.
It's soon.
And so in the lead up, now there's some speculation and somebody said that Taylor hadn't been thinking Five Stages of Grief, but the fans, when she was releasing the album variant covers, everybody was like, the album variant covers make them think of the Five Stages of Grief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Taylor took that and ran with it for lead up to Tortured Poets marketing. She released a playlist for each of the Five Stages of Grief and put songs from her Taylor's versions and songs she already owns into each playlist, and people are shook. They are shook because Lover is in denial.
Yeah.
Lavender Haze, denial. Like,
yeah.
All the denial, love songs about Joe, denial.
Denial. The denial list hurts. It was
a lot.
It was a lot. You're like, oh, okay. Well, it's like basically she told you the world's flat. And all this time.
People are like, my wedding song.
You really thought it was round. And she's like, nope.
I know.
Nope, there was an amazing reel. It was not round. It was so, so flat. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I felt like this is what people must have felt like when like someone landed on the moon. You're like, that's not possible. Like,
somebody it was really like, felt actually, like that the to moon me. Is made out of cheese. And
yeah, it's fruit. Really like... Like, do you remember how, like, we all kind of casually just kind of were like, okay, aliens exist, and, like, nobody really reacted to it? I feel like this has more of a reaction from humanity than, like, when they, like, showed up at, like, literally the Senate and testified aliens are real. Like, I was like, yeah, okay. But, like, this, they're like, what?
It's a lot.
In denial?
I love there's an amazing reel that's like, hey, for all you girls that, like, feel, like, bad about being behind and being the last single one in your friend group and stuff, like at least you didn't have Lover as like your first dance.
Like my sister had that as her. Okay, so here's the
way. A lot of people did.
Yeah,
I know, everybody used it. Like, here's the thing, to me,
still a pretty song.
You can totally have like the songs, it's not really about her intention. After a while, it becomes something else for you. And
right. You can still it as your wedding song.
So, like, don't let the fact that Taylor's gone through a breakup, is looking at things in hindsight, decided for marketing purposes, let's do this Five Stages of Grief, you know, like, ruin like, your relationship
nothing
with the song.
Was on denial. Yeah.
Although,
yeah,
the hilarious thing
I
said
not
that.
Saying it didn't hurt when you're like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, you are like, I mean, if anyone is positive about Joe after this,
now
I don't know how.
Where I get confused is why Bejeweled is on the denial playlist.
Oh, that's a good one.
What's in denial about Bejeweled?
To me, what Bejeweled is saying is I can still do both. I can have this guy and I can go and do my stuff and be out and be sparkly. Like, it was a very positive, like, I can still make the world shimmer. But in reality, she really couldn't do both.
Like, I miss you, but I miss sparkling. And it's like,
yeah, she thought,
well, like, I was wrong about missing you.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it
basically, the
homegirl is not holding back, is. Like,
and everybody is scared.
We're all scared. Like, this is gonna be. I TikTok where they have, oh, it all makes sense now. And they have the burning lover house. And then they have this shot, Midnight's cover with Taylor holding the cigarette lighter.
Yes.
And you're like.
Like she burned it down.
Like again, another gut punch. Out of my sails. It was just like, whoa.
Woof.
I just feel like everything we've known for the last 6 years is now called into question and we know nothing.
I've seen people like going in and picking apart Folklore and Evermore and they're like, oh.
You know, I always thought it was a little funny that she's like, oh no, this is all just made
it's
up.
It's all fictional.
Fictional. You're like, girl, that's not really how you write. Like, okay.
You don't write exile unless you're feeling exile.
You're feeling a certain way. Also, I was watching the Long Pond
Session. I've seen again. Valentine's Day. You're not that good of an actor.
Right.
Yes.
Like I was watching the Long Pond and here's where I'm at. I'm really caught up in the William Bowery conspiracy theories right now.
Oh man,
and
so good.
When Jack when Taylor was like, oh, you know, Joe,
and he said, I've never met him. And then I was like, because he's never met the person that Taylor Swift says he is.
Exactly. And then he's also like, when she's like, oh, he came out with Exile, like the fully formed chorus. And I was like, oh, can I borrow that? And Jack was like, yeah, and lyrics too? Like, the shade coming from Jack was real.
Jack knows and everything.
Jack, and I'm like,
that's
so
the
now.
Bestie that's like, girl.
You're
so adorable. Now I feel like he really didn't write anything and she just gave him credit so he would like.
I feel like he got credit on Sweet Nothing for the part where she says, and you say, what a mine, that happens all the time. Like, I honestly think she gave him credit for saying, you say, what a mine.
But no, she said that she got that line from the Beatle. Who was the Beatle?
I know what she says, but I don't believe her.
Oh, you don't? You think that he said it?
I think that he literally said it.
I don't know if he really said it. Well, and then everybody else is like, well, maybe like some of the actual lyrics are things Joe said in a fight.
I think they 100% are.
So maybe that was like her compromise to her publishing about, oh, you're, because we're so private, you know, you can't write about us.
Well, and
so
I think
like, well, I'll tell them it's fictional. I'll give you writing credit, so you're in on it too.
I'll say
like,
that we wrote about.
We wrote
stuff.
It together, so it seems
and
more like.
It could be her saving her butt for the future. Like this way he can't come back later and be like, "You never gave me credit, and I came up with this."
Yeah,
like,
well,
she's like,
boy,
"I will
boy doesn't ever have to
you.
Work again. He doesn't ever have to work again. Then royalties are gonna be just plenty of money for him. So." Mm-hmm.
So now he can't come at her 10 years down the road and be like, I
right.
have to write this.
It's the same way,
like, there was a interview as far as Jesse McCartney was like a teen star in my generation or whatever. It was doing a retrospective thing where they said, you got screwed because you wrote the song Bleeding Love. That could have been a good, big, like, breakout for you. And they gave it to, like, Leona Lewis instead. And he's like, yeah, but I'm less mad about it because I got full credit and it was such a hit. So they're like, yeah, you did get paid. And I was like, exactly. So when you get royalties off of a hit song forever, it softens any blows related to it.
Yep. So
and
I'm
he
just
got
calling,
a grant, so he's
yeah,
good.
I'm just calling the whole thing suspect.
I think they were in trouble a lot sooner than we thought. I think the pandemic artificially prolonged their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of trouble. Like, for starters, Jack posting that one picture about, like, this is when we wrote You're Losing
You're
Me.
You're Losing Me.
Like, 2 fucking years ago.
2021. Like, blew my mind.
There was trouble.
Well, the bargaining playlist is rough too, because there's just I can't remember what some of the songs were, but let me look.
I have them open right now. I'm looking at them
because I think there was one where I'm trying to think. It's gone in my brain now.
I mean,
but
some of the bargaining like very obviously bargaining.
Yeah. Like, some of them are really obvious, but, like, I gotta look it up because I published it on my
thingy. Great War, This Is Me Trying, Peace, The Archer, Cornelia Street, Death by a Thousand Cuts, Soon You'll Get Better, Afterglow, I Wish You Would, Say Don't Go, Come Back, Be Here, Better Man, Story of Us, Haunted, Come Into the Rain.
Yeah. I think it was Afterglow.
It might have been Afterglow.
Because I was like, oh, because Afterglow is a lot about them having this big fight. Because remember she talked about that big fight that they had all the time?
And Afterglow like, oh. And The Great War are basically the same song.
Yeah, and it's like, this was like a really seminal moment in their relationship. And he stuck it out and was like, he wouldn't let her break up with him. And but now it's like, she's looking at it as like, oh, she was like... I think she really had been to trade. I think more than any other relationship, she really had to trade pieces of herself away to make it work.
And I think she eventually reached a point where, like, I shouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, I mean,
I shouldn't have to make all these concessions about who I am.
Right.
Just to
like
keep
that person
guy.
Said, like, Joe didn't care who Taylor Swift was. And that worked for him for a while, but then it really worked against him.
It was so. it's one of those things that like, oh, that sounds nice, but then you get into the reality of it and you're like, oh, that's not good.
And just their whole relationship with the hiding and the secrecy, like it made sense to me, the whole privacy and secrecy thing as she's coming off of, you know, her relationship with what's his name and
Hiddleston.
Then the whole Hiddleston and I love Tisa. She really was, I think there was
she was like, there's too overexposure.
It's too much exposure. Yeah. I do agree with that. And then, of course, everything with Kim K happened and Reputation and that kind of stuff. So, to me, it made sense. But the continued hiding out and the never
you
going
must
to
be in hiding
shows,
for 6 years instead of
never,
6 months.
Like, listen, Miss Swift loves herself an award. She likes to be sparkly. And she likes to go out, and to me, when I listened to her when she was younger, and all of her interviews, when they're like, oh, is this fame thing, so how difficult is it? Because one of my pet peeves is all these actors and actresses bitching about fame when that's been what they've been chasing their whole life. And she was like, I wanted this. She's like, so, yeah, like, I'm not going to act like this is super inconvenient. Yeah, there's some things that I need to adjust, but I'm still going to live my life because otherwise I just feel like I'm hiding from my life. And she was like, you know, they were always asking her about relationships. And she's like, it really depends on the person that I'm with. Like, if you're going to make a thing about the paparazzi, then okay, it's a thing, but it's not in my control. I can't control it. Like, my perspective is we live our life and we go out side, and if we get her picture taken, we get her picture taken. Like, it's not, she's like, the costumes and hiding, like, she had this whole thing about it. And then that's exactly what she was doing with Joe for years. And I was always like, that's a little odd.
It is a little odd. Honestly,
it's
okay,
not
my,
sustainable long term.
No, you
favorite,
have to live your life.
My favorite playlist, though, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, and I could have told you this without seeing what songs were on it. I would have said these two are going to be my favorites, and I look at the songs and I'm like, yeah, is Anger and Acceptance.
Yeah,
those are my favorite ones on there because like those are the songs where I'm like, yes.
I loved that the one was on Acceptance.
Yes.
I love that because like anybody who's been through, like a serious breakup where like you really thought you were going to marry this person. Like the one captures all of that, you know? And at first I couldn't find Clean. I was like, I can't believe Clean's not on like,
there
and
it is.
I was like, oh, it's right there.
Right there. Like there's really good songs and those are the songs that you listen to and you feel kind of like that piece. When you listen to those songs, right?
Okay.
This song gets it.
Yeah,
the song is in a good place emotionally. Yep. Anger has its moments too. Like I love.
She's got
Exile.
Some great angry songs though. Like
I
just
like.
So...
You know, is it over now? Like you cannot. We are never ever getting back together. Come on.
Where did she put
that's
the
like
last
joyous
time?
Anger? Which is
where
great.
Did she put the last time? Was that on Bargaining or was that on Anger? Because I know it's somewhere.
It's on Anger.
Okay. I was going to say that's a pretty pissed off.
That's a pretty
I
angry
love
song.
That one. Cal and I love her angsty, sad, angry songs. Like,
yes,
that's what
I don't, I don't, I don't vibe. Depression is great, but I don't vibe with it.
No,
like, I love My Fears Ricochet. I love Maroon, but like, I don't identify with those songs. Because I don't go through depression when I'm breaking up with somebody, be it romantically or friendship. I go from anger to acceptance.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I jump, you know? So I don't understand bargaining. I don't understand depression.
It's in the same way of back in 2016 when Beyonce released Lemonade in that, like, visual album. She mentions kind of the five stages. And yes. Don't Hurt Yourself is the anger song. And it's my favorite because it's sort of like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yes. I love that
you're
feeling.
Just like, yes.
Yes. Me too.
Burning, swing a baseball bat. It just, getting to feel that vicariously through music is always very satisfying.
It is so satisfying. It's so satisfying.
It's so good. I'm really glad.
Anger at somebody else's problems is always.
I don't care if it was planned or whether she copied off of, you know, fans, like, whatever. She can take good ideas from fans every once in a while. That's fine,
like,
with me.
It was a great idea.
It was a great idea.
Playlists are amazing. Like, they're just. I think this album is going to break people.
Yeah, I think things were a lot rougher than what we realized, and she was really unhappy for a long time, and we didn't know.
Yeah,
we just didn't know.
I don't see how this is going to translate to Song of the Summer. We're just going to be very depressed this summer.
We're just going to be depressed. You know, somebody asked a good question. They're like, okay, so obviously Reputation and Debut were not on the lists because we don't have Taylor's versions for them yet. But like, if they did exist, like, what Reputation songs would be on what what list? And somebody was like, a lot of Rep would be on Denial.
Yeah.
But there would also be some bargaining. Like,
did she put Delicate on there? Did she put Delicate
no,
in Denial?
No, because she doesn't own it yet. So Reputation is not on any of these lists.
Oh.
But Delicate totally would have been on bargaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that she left My Favorite Song alone and I was very relieved.
Oh, yes.
You are in love. She just left it alone, and I appreciate it.
But that song was also categorically not about her. So she probably does not have any attachment to it, like, personally.
It's fine.
So it wouldn't go on the list.
I don't care.
You're like, I'm good with that.
I'm just happy she did. I'm just like, thank you. We're just going to leave that alone. I appreciate
it. I'm just happy that the Disney Plus version of the Eras Tour includes that song for you, so you can watch it live anytime you want to.
Yes, this is true.
I'm just happy for you on that one.
Okay, so T Swizzle. Also, I remember the last time we talked, it was about Kate Middleton, and it came out that she has cancer. So that's basically awful, and I hope that she gets better too. Yes. So that's all the Royals news, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Arrow! Do we watch 203? I watched 203.
I did, but like, 2 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah,
but,
like, you're asking me to remember something.
That's fine. I watched last night. I'll lead. We can do this. I got you.
Yeah. The thing is just that this is the creepiest villain. Like,
it
I'm
is
just
so
a, like,
creepy.
A week to week.
Like, rarely does a CW show actually scare you, but this guy was.
He was
the Wiggins.
I love that it was supposed to be focused, like, the episode was about Laurel and Sarah and Laurel being in danger, and all the fandom cared about at the time was Felicity. And
well,
Felicity, like, being the lure and everything. Like,
he
nobody
hit her head
shit.
On the ground and he,
like,
turned back and
the
bad
guy.
Off.
When does Oliver let the bad guy go? Oh, Felicity bumped his head. Like, he's like, I don't know her. It's like the Mariah Carey. Like, I don't know
her. I don't know her.
Or is there's a bad guy? I don't know her. just like, but it's like, just he like won't I leave her until Diggle comes, and then he's like, stay with her.
Like, but it was like the same as the episode at the end in season one where he and Laurel hooked up. Like, all anybody cared about was the elevator shaft,
right,
in that episode. Like, nobody cared about Laurel and Oliver. Like, all the Laurel fans, especially the ones that came later, can sit there and be like, nobody, we always only ever wanted Laurel. It's like, where were you then when this was happening? Because nobody was talking.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared about Laurel at all.
Well, I noticed something that was a huge parallel that, again, I just didn't notice. So in the flashbacks, because they're clearly doing a comparison between the island trio and OTA. Like, there's clearly a through line here. And there's a moment where Slade and Oliver are going to go traipsing around for something. I don't really care what. And Shadow had her Japanese soldier corpse skeleton that she was examining, because I guess she was pre-med. So that's interesting. And Oliver's like, oh, we shouldn't leave Shadow. And he says, Slade says, her life, her choice. And that is what Felicity says to Oliver when she volunteers to do the, to be the bait for the doll maker. She says, my life, my choice. So they're drawing right away that Felicity is, it's not Laurel who's being, that Shadow is kind of like the parallel against. It's Felicity. And Oliver and Shadow were clearly romantic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's an interesting little bobble that I didn't notice on my first
watch.
And
an interesting parallel of, like, because it ended badly for Shadow, of why he's hesitant to go there.
Right, because they have the whole, it's a really interesting argument that he has with Slade, because Slade's telling him, you need to dump her, mostly because he's jealous and wants her. But he's like, you need to dump her because, you know, emotions and relationships are cloud your judgment and will get you killed. And Oliver says to him, or it's what keeps, I believe it's what keeps you alive. But then you flash forward to present day, and homeboy has a totally different attitude, and it's like, Diggle's like, these are the things that keep you alive, and Oliver's like, nope, I don't like feelings, feelings bad. Like, so, it's clearly done, he's done a 180, but the juxtapositioning of love interest is on, you know, for the Shadow piece, is on Felicity, not Laurel. And then I thought they really downplayed the saving of Laurel.
Oh, totally downplayed.
It was really downplayed. Like,
and it never felt like that was Oliver's goal.
No, it's obligatory. It was really kind of shady, because he was kind of pissy about it. Because he, like, okay, he saves her. All right, fine. And Laurel's like, he saved me. He saved me. And at first, like, he's like, you think she's talking about the arrow. And I think in the beginning she was, but then she switches to Tommy, which we'll get to. But Lance, he does come by her apartment later, and like Oliver as the arrow to check on Lance and Laurel, and he's like, you saved her. And all he said was, she needed help. There's no, I'll always save her. I'll always be with her. You know, she like, never has to worry. You know, he can make some real self-aggrandizing, like, romantics, like, because that's the shit he would say to her when he was in season one was, you know, to protect people I care about, I must remain hidden. Like, that's the crap he would say to her. And now he was just like, yeah, well.
And to fast forward a bit, it's not, there was no choice to make. It was just.
Right. Yeah, it was just very like, yeah, I was there. She needed help.
Like, I would have said,
I'm not
going to
let the creepy dude put like a concrete palm down her esophagus. And it's,
what'd you think, Al?
I would have saved any random idiot that wandered
really
into a serial killer's trap.
100%. It was really like, well, she's a person on the street, so that's my job. It was just
quad.
And I did notice there was a lot of Oliver shirtless, and they had Felicity in like this very like bodice forming purple shirt, almost corsety, and she looked kind of naked. And it was a lot of skin. There was a lot of skin happening in the bunker, in the arrow cave. And I liked it. I liked it a lot.
You're like, okay. I'm a fan.
So Laurel finally admits what we've been screaming at her for the better part of a decade.
I'm a shithead.
She killed Tommy, but she's on the same page.
Same difference.
Glad we're all on the same understanding.
She was like, I was too stubborn to get out when I got the chance. And we're like, we know, Laurel. You saved paper.
We've been here,
Laurel.
And now you don't even work there. So, like,
I love that as she's saying this to Lance, he didn't jump in and be like, oh, honey, you don't have anything to feel guilty about. He was just like, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
You fucked up, bitch.
I told you.
He's like, Oliver and I told, and me, we told you to get out and you didn't listen. And then a building dropped on him. And I love that Lance had the arrows back. He's like, well, what's the guy with the bow and arrow supposed to do when a building falls on a guy? Like, Lance was just A-plus Lance this episode. It's like one of my favorite Lance's episodes.
Steph fucking kiss, man.
Oh, it was great. I was like, I'm so loving this team up. I just love it. And it removes all of the Sarah stuff from it with them. Like, this is the one scenario where it's like, it bugged me when Oliver was like forming a relationship with Laurel as the hood, because he used that to have a relationship with her because he couldn't have a relationship with her as Oliver Queen. But I feel like this was more above board because Lance came to him.
Yeah.
And like, there is that moment where Lance is like, oh, I caught this case right after my daughter Sarah died and Oliver said, I'm sorry. And he was like, he's tried to apologize.
Honestly, he's rebuilding the Lance connection.
I mean, he's like, he really has tried him so much, because he's so angry with Oliver he can't hear it. So I feel like this is the first time that Oliver was really able to apologize and Lance accept it. He was like,
he's
thank you.
Finally heard him and was like, yeah, you know, yes, thank you.
Yeah, and he's like, thank you. And I'm like, see,
I've finally found my sense of reason.
Yeah. So, and then of course the lady in black, which we all know is Sarah. It feels really obvious. Was it obvious, Callie, that it was Sarah in 203? Like, did y'all like, did the fandom have that figured out?
Here's my thing. I didn't know Sarah.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, doo, 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 you know.
I think that it really worked worked for them that they recast it.
Yes. I guess. I was not like, I was like, I had no Black Canary, nothing. I didn't know shit.
Because all we have was the actress in the flashbacks. They said that they went back to that actress and she was unavailable. Okay. So,
Yeah, I think it was spoiled a little bit. I'm trying to put fandom memory on, is because, like, they didn't say Sarah Lance, but they said, like, Katie Lotz was cast as a recurring guest star and with her headshot. But then it's like, you know what,
that
she kind of looks
like Black Canary.
Yeah.
Totally did not even register on the
Maryland.
I was just whatever, it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah. And she's helping Oliver, but she's not really helping Oliver. She's really helping Laurel. So yeah. I think that's the little clue detail that everybody kind of. But everybody finds out next episode, right, that she's alive. We're not keeping this up for very long because it's stupid.
Yeah, it's like it's the cliffhanger of 204.
Okay, because I was like, this is actually ridiculous that no one's figuring out this, that Oliver's not putting those together. So,
and then we'll give you like an episode and a half. Like, that's
guys, remember Sin? That was fun.
Aw,
yeah.
I know, Sin. I like Sin. Remember when we thought Sin was going to be like a bigger character and like nothing happened with her and she went to go
not
to other
a
shows?
Goddamn thing.
I know, because sometimes occasionally seeing another thing, it's like, oh yeah, you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we got our Oliver little proud of Felicity moment when Lance was like, how does she do that? And Oliver just smiles because he's the cutest.
Oh, that was glorious.
That she's smart and wonderful and the best.
Look how smart and pretty.
Because we love her.
That's my girl. He's so proud of her. I just, I die. And I did like that he was like, well, she, because Lance is giving him shit for using her as bait. And Oliver's like, she volunteered. Like, there is an aspect of Oliver that does respect the fact that it's Felicity and it is her life and it is her choice.
God bless it.
So that's some growth.
And I it's like
the growth.
The parenthetical is like, dude, I'm freaking out too, but I'm trying to be the bigger person.
I'm trying to be cool. That's fine. I won't die if something happens to her. Not at all. It's not like I'll want to like crawl into a hole and never come out. I'll be totally fine.
I'm not panicking. No.
I'm good. Everything's great. Everything's amazing.
We're speaking fine. Of denial. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fantastic. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's a good episode. I was trying to think, Lori, like, what episode, like, it kind of, it's like Arrow's version of Hush on Buffy.
Yeah.
It's about as close. I mean, Hush was really freaky, but.
Hush was super freak.
It kind of just made me, because it's such a masculine male show on Arrow. Like, it was interesting for, like, them to kind of. I liked that Felicity was like, yeah, I'm seriously having freaking out. This is creepy. Like, the stuff that women have to worry about, we can't just go to our car. You know what I mean? Like, every time we're out and about and we want to go to our car at nighttime, you are looking around for the would-be rapist. You know what I mean? You can't just go to the car. Like, I've had to have this talk with Nick because he's been sending our daughter to, like, because she's got her license now, and he's been sending her to, like, go to Target, go do this. And it's like nighttime. And I'm like, we're not sending the 16-year-old to freaking Target at 8 o'clock at night. You, the 6'1", 200-pound man, can go get your freaking banana. Cause I'm like, but like they just don't think about it. They're like, oh yeah, I guess that's not very safe for her. I'm like, no, yeah. It's not. It's not safe for her. It's not safe for me.
So I was gonna say, even curbside pickup is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just, and I told her too, I was like, don't fill up gas at night. I was like, come home. Like, cause like gas stations at night are one of the most dangerous places for women. So like, just come home and make dad do it. So I was like, I don't care if you're on empty, just come home. So and he has said repeatedly, like, no, he doesn't think about it all the time. Cause he doesn't have to, he's a guy. So
must
I did
nice.
Think it was a nice focus on like the female experience in living in a crime-filled city, which they hadn't really done before.
Yeah, and like honestly, I'm trying to go through any of the villains of the week, and it's like still I think the most disturbing one.
Yeah, like, I'm really like the only other one that was kind of scarier was the Count, or not scarier, but was kind of scary was the Count, but that was really just because he had Felicity. But I really can't think of a villain of the week that was as scary as the Dollmaker.
It's pretty scary.
And it, because it felt very real. I think that's why, yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, because it's like, not ninjas, like, somehow, like, being also in the weird, you're putting your brain around this of, if I was in the scenario, just getting killed by a ninja of, like, okay, then you're dead, but you're not, like, strapped to a thing with, like, a tube down your throat that's, like, putting some kind of polymer and you're gonna like suffocate.
I mean, that was freaky.
That's freaky. That's
yeah. Freaky. Yeah.
Whereas a ninja really with a sword, okay, if I get stabbed and then I'm dead, and that's not great, but
there's that's something somehow about better. Being immobilized.
Yeah.
I think that's really where the freaky comes in. And it was similar in Hush because like everybody lost their voice. So you couldn't scream when the gentleman took your heart. So it's that immobilization and that no one can hear you. Because Laurel couldn't scream because he had her, this ridiculous contraption in her mouth. So, and it worked fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was overall just a really creepy bad guy. I was like, you really have to be in the right frame of mind for the Dollmaker. Okay. I can't think of anything. Oh, Slade got burned. So we're on that
trajectory.
That's the thing that happened.
Yeah. I'm really not liking Slade in season two.
Before... You know, I liked Slade the most in season two.
Did you?
Well, no, maybe not. Like the end of season one, the beginning of season two.
Yeah.
But like,
I liked him end of season one. I just feel like season two, everything's so, like, coded with his feelings for Shadow. I don't feel like he's really being on the up and up with Oliver about it, and it just feels shady.
It's a little shady.
It just feels shady to me. And I, as perceptive as Shadow is, the fact that she's, like, doesn't realize that Slade has a thing for her, I have a very hard time believing that.
Yeah.
She does realize it, and she's just not addressing it. I don't know. We haven't
really gotten to that point. Or is in a survival scenario and just not wanting to deal with it.
Yeah. She just wants to look at her Japanese skeleton, which, soldier skeleton, which, that's fine. Gotta let a girl have her hobbies. It's all good. It's all fine. Yeah, so we're kind of headed down the Slade Road.
Slade Road.
Slade Road. But something needs that. I do feel like it's, like, we need to get going on the bigger overarching villain storyline. So I'm much more impatient than I was watching live. I'm like, yeah, come on.
The next two will be a little bit more to power through. 6 through 9 is an amazing stretch.
It's flawless. It's a flawless run. Yeah. It's a flawless run. I think the only run that beats it might be, well, maybe not beats it, but is just as good as the final run of, like, the 5 episodes at the end of season 5. Like, the 4 or 5 episodes with
20 through the end.
Yeah, whatever is after the gun control episode, that was a real low point. Then I think it was
20
through the end.
Yes, 17 onward, because 17 is when Adrian goes full crazy.
Yeah, Adrian goes full crazy, it's right after the gun control. Then we find out Adrian is Prometheus. Then, yeah.
Then that got better.
It got way better. It was really, those were really good. Honestly, they could have ended the show very easily on 5. And I sometimes wish they did.
I saw somebody on TikTok. That's a
slightly different ending than blowing up the islands.
To me, they wouldn't have done that.
I mean, obviously, they'd end on a happy note with Oliver and Felicity and the wedding and the baby. The whole breakup would not have, the length of the breakup would not have happened.
Somebody did a list of shows that should have had fewer seasons, and Arrow was one of them. Like, I was waiting as they were going through. Like, the slides. I was like, where's Arrow? Where's Arrow? Oh, there it is. Like,
when did they say Arrow should have ended?
They didn't say. They just said.
Oh. No, yeah, I'm pretty firm on that for a lot of my faves. Like, I really think Buffy should have been done in season 5. And I think Arrow should have been done in season 5.
Just 200 episodes and there you go.
Yeah, you're good. And the plan was for 5. Like, it's a nice bookend. And I think it would have picked up the storytelling pace in season 4. Like, a lot of the problems we had in season 4 was because they were trying to elongate the show. And it just wasn't really. The great thing about Arrow was it did have a good pacing for the most part. There was, like, little spots here and there where it would, but by 4, they really had the pacing was really off, and it was starting to feel like, okay, now we're just kind of, like, hanging out, passing time, making things that were easily resolvable turning into these huge breakups that last a year and a half just so they don't get married until season 6. Like, it's like, I'm still in favor of them doing the breakup, like, just not have it be as long though.
6 months is, like, so much better.
Yeah, I, you know, listen, if Barry and Iris can have, like, a breakup for an episode, I think the Arrow fandom was due. So, that's all I'm saying.
Preach it.
But I really like the idea of ending the flashbacks with Oliver going home and having that bookend with a wedding to Felicity.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been choice. And you can still do the whole blow up the island thing. You just don't make that the last episode. Let them think that everybody's dead. And nope, nobody's, yep, she's alive. Excellent. Yay, let's go get married.
Sorry about your mom dying. William.
Sorry about your mom. The whole William stuff. The William stuff is just such a holdover from the Laurel days. Like, it just does. It just frustrates me.
It goes like, to show, because
there's positives, but so many negatives. So I just. That's gonna be me when we get to season four. I'm just gonna be like, meh, 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 meh. Because it was a lot. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah. It was so much. It was just too much sometimes. Can't handle it. It's fine though. It's over. It's been over. Is anyone gonna watch Suits?
Totally fine.
Is anyone gonna watch Suits? Are you guys watching Suits? Someone to watch Suits with me? Because I have to watch
it. I never watched the original. So
well, you should watch the original. You'd like it, Maddie.
I probably would.
Okay, so that's a no. Wait, Cal, did you watch the original Suits?
I didn't ever finish it.
It get a little. I stopped watching it until Donna and Harvey were dealt with in a way that I felt was reasonable.
I watched the scene where they got together because it was
everywhere. That's about when I picked up back again. I'm like, okay, I'll start watching. Because it was really getting to the point where it's like they teased it so much. And I was like, if they don't follow through on this, like, I'm just really over that. Like, if you're going to tease the relationship, you have to be willing to pull the trigger on it. It's like, I have like deep-seated anger towards Law and Order SVU with Olivia and Elliot. Like, everyone everyone gets so excited every time these two characters look sideways at each other. And I'm like, they're never going to give you guys what you want.
Never.
That's why I hate procedural. Because they can do that. Because the show is really not focused on relationships. It's just the case of the week stuff. So they can just tease things forever. And never follow through. Well, I saw
a thing in recent weeks. Law and Order had its 1,000th episode, which is kind of insane.
That's bad shit. How many episodes does Grey's Anatomy have? Because that show needs to be over, too.
So, let's see, like, 22 times 20. So, it's probably up there, too.
Nick and I were talking, we really don't have a lot of shows that we're watching. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what we're watching. And, like, on network TV, like, we're behind on The Rookie. And I think that's it. Like, I can't think of anything network TV that we're watching. There's just, honestly, like, nothing on. I think I
will giggle a little bit. The only, like, weekly TV ritual I have right now is I do, like, a family dinner on Tuesday nights. And there's a new HGTV show where they renovate homes in Hawaii. And that's,
Hawaii is lovely, like, Maddie.
Oh, it's a new episode of Renovation Aloha.
Yeah, that's a good... I like that show. Yeah, Hawaii is lovely. You'd like it there. It's really expensive, though.
Indeed.
Very expensive to live there, but beautiful. Really can't beat. I gotta say,
they make homes for actual families instead of a like random Chinese investor company that's gonna buy this as an Airbnb. And
right,
yeah,
yeah. Because there's like, I mean, Honolulu is packed, and the thing that struck me was how many like apartments they were and how run down they were. Like, there's a real. I find that when I go to some of these cities from being from in the Midwest, like I noticed that in San Francisco when I went to go visit it, like it's like you have these really high end, super expensive houses. And then there's like homeless people sitting outside of Gucci. You know what I mean? So like, to me, like there's just like, there's a huge disparity between in wealth, between, you know, clearly people who are wealthy in Hawaii and majority of people who are poor and like the lack of like enough living space and just the dilapidated conditions from which they're living in. I was like, this is really sad. So I don't really know how the U.S. managed to get Hawaii and get it into part of the country, but man, are they raking in the tourism.
Yeah,
it's a lot. So but I loved it. Was beautiful. We saw Pearl Harbor, which was sad, and then we went snorkeling. I swam with some dolphins, and by swim with dolphins I mean I'm in the ocean. They say, there's the dolphins. And you stick your head underwater. You're snorkeling. And the dolphins are like, hi. And then they swim off. But I met a sea turtle. I was only like 2 feet away from a sea turtle. He was very nice. He said, you swam with me.
He said, you can swim with me. The one time. I was in elementary school. And we did a Hawaii trip. And it's infamously like... shenanigans ensued kayaking trip, but my mom and my sister accidentally hit a sea turtle with their kayak. Because the tour guide is like, oh, look over there. There's a sea turtle. And they're like, where? And then they just hear a thunk.
Oh. Did they hit his shell?
Yeah, just the shell.
So okay, then they're fine. He was like the chillest sea turtle. Not that I've hung out with a lot of them, but like it really reminded me of the sea turtle from Nemo.
It's true.
It's like, hey, what's going on, lady?
Right.
Yeah, let's just ride these waves. It was really wonderful. And then we went in a waterfall, and that was fun too. Mm-hmm. And then we just ate. I ate and ate and ate, so I feel like I never need to eat again. So. Ate all the mm-hmm. But yeah, I have this weird. So I think some of my migraines are due to the vitamin D. Because, like, when I went to Aruba and when I went to Hawaii, I felt a lot better. And now that I'm home, I'm having, like, migraines constantly. So I think it's sun-related, guys. My vampire life is actually becoming detrimental.
Like, maybe do you need, like a little like vitamin D gummy or something?
Well, I do take vitamin D, but maybe I'm not taking enough. I don't know. I have to call my doctor and maybe have my blood tested again. I thought I was taking enough vitamin D, but maybe I'm not. Because I don't go outside. Yeah. But when you work from home, it's very easy to stay inside all day.
Yeah. I still love it. I joked of like, your old time, you need to spend a week at the seaside to
I do. I need to go to Sanditon. I need to go to Sanditon. and take in the seashore.
Exactly.
So yeah. All right, guys. I've got a meeting, so I gotta peace out. So
good. I think we covered a lot. We got
Aaron. We covered a lot.
It's a lot.
We got to a lot more than I was expecting.
I know, we really did. I feel like we were very efficient today, which is unusual for us. So good job, us.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.